Back here on the Mighty 690 at 914, our cavalcade of guests continues. We have joining us the president of the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club, John Best. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. How you doing this
morning?
Hey,
good to have you here in studio. Of course, thank you for the donuts once again. I got a monthly donut run here. Always some good stuff there. That's a sure way to keep our guests coming back, you know, whenever they bring donuts. So we like that. Hey, lots of good stuff going on with the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club. We do have a meeting coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
And all are welcome at Coffeeville's Reawakening. And 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock on 9th Street at Coffeeville Reawakening Center. And we are going to have probably a pretty good meeting this time because we're going to discuss the field day for next month, winter field day.
Yes. So, and it's looking like I may still be getting back from Arizona at that time, but I've been telling people, hey, we should still do it, even if I'm not there.
Yeah.
because I know that I was actually just over at Doug's house, one of the club members, and he's gearing up. He's got some antennas that he's got ready to go, so I think there's a lot of interest. So looking forward to some of that winter field day on the way. And you know, the winter field day, kind of, there's been some discussion because, you know, I am a little bit on the board of that. So you know, for better or for worse, but there is a kind of discussion that, you know, we have the summer field day, which many of the listeners got to come to, and that's a really good outreach. You know, it's a fun time, nice and warm and everything, and it sure was warm. But the winter field day tends to be a little bit more, you know, this is about the actual, you know, emergency preparedness, that sort of thing.
Right.
It's less of a public event, typically, more of a time for the, you know, because let's face it, a lot of these times people set up in tents and that sort of thing, and it's not the most comfortable affair. So
hopefully we won't be setting up in a tent.
Yeah. So I think that's the kind of the plan, is to have that a little more indoors. So, but I know we'll be talking about that and making some plans, and you know, it should really be a good event. And so that's on the docket tonight. And in addition, you know, folks may not realize that the club actually has several repeaters that are located around town. And we've actually had some club members who we really want to give a shout out, who have been doing some great work on those.
Yes, we have two on the South Tower. We have two towers out there that have our antennas and stuff on it and repeaters. And we had one of our guys that just joined the club. And had just moved here, and he did a lot of work on that building this last month, I definitely want to make sure he gets a good shout out about that, because he did a lot of work that needed to be done.
Oh yeah, no, there was some great work there, and it was you know, new paint job, repaired some of the soffits and, you know, all that woodwork and everything. So yeah, it's always good to be able to make sure that we keep all of our you know, facilities up in top shape. So doing a great job there. So, you know, we do encourage anyone, even if you're not a member of the club, you know, use those repeaters. Folks who are coming through town, it's a great way to talk quite a long ways, because we got repeaters that'll cover you, I mean, all the way from, you know, Chautauqua County over into Labette County.
Actually,
a long stretch.
I went to Joplin last Friday, and I was hitting the Bartlett repeater in Joplin.
That's a good reminder. Yeah, I mean, heck, I've driven all the way over to like Cherokee County, and still had a no problem conversation with people on that. So those repeaters go all the way to the state line and further.
Yes, and I mean, you can talk to anybody back here, or like, I was also on Joplin's on some of their repeaters Friday night also, and they are always talking on those. I mean, it is kind of unreal how many people you get to talk to when you get over there.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely impressive. And some of the folks who may not have heard the program before, saying, "Oh well, what's a repeater?" Well, John, kind of like maybe the most thing that people might be familiar with is maybe like kind of police radios, fire radios,
right?
Kind of how they talk.
Yeah, it just relays your message from one side of it to the other side. It allows you to transmit and them to receive your messages, and it comes out crystal clear. I mean, it's like you're sitting right there with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal.
It allows you to kind of broadcast at a higher power at the same time.
Yes.
So, you know, it takes that signal and it reamplifies it, and, you know, you can hear it over a much greater distance. Because, yes, sure, the other thing that people don't realize is we've got our, you know, handheld radios. We can talk to each other, no problem on those. But you get maybe an obstacle in between there, a tall building, a big hill, that sort of thing, and then they have a harder time communicating.
Right. And also, we use ours also for emergency communications. And what made me want to bring that up was the tornado in Tennessee. I was talking to a ham radio operator that I know in Tennessee on the internet, and they were out in full force that within just minutes, and they had their repeaters and everything set up, the emergency ones that they have set up, so that law enforcement and fire and ambulance could get to the places they needed to be dispatched and everything.
Well, that's a great reminder there, John, and the fact that, you know, we're so used to our, thankfully, our cell phones and all that sort of thing working every day, and they really do a great job of that. But we get into situations where tornadoes, you know, they can take those cell towers down, and then what are we left with?
Right.
Not a lot.
Yeah, and like this here, this was a real bad tornado. I mean, it was on the ground for quite a while, and they were out all Friday night, I believe it was, and then Saturday, and then he had came in, and he had slept for like 3 or 4 hours and was headed back out. And I mean, it is something that is real interesting when you see it actually working. It really makes you stop and think about it.
Oh, that's a really good reminder. And there's so many different organizations out there that help. You know, we talk about the Saturn groups that are out there. That's the Salvation Army, actually,
right,
has their own kind of radio wing.
Yes.
We have the actual Skywarn, which is a little bit more for storm spotting. And there's ARES, Amateur Radio Emergency Services, which has been around since about the start of amateur radio itself.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different groups out there, even RACES, which traces its roots back to the civil defense times during the Cold War.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different groups out there that will help in emergency situations because, yeah, that's the thing. One of the mottos of amateur radio being kind of when all else fails, we've got a lot of tools we can deploy because people talk, you know, and maybe with more computer terms, people are a little more familiar with those. We're almost like kind of like being able to hack things, if you will.
Right.
Because that we know, you know, a lot of times you have maybe police radios that are, it's like a system, you know, that these counties buy where, you know, it's a system, it's set up. If something goes wrong in that, they got to contact, you know, maybe they have a tech who comes out, and if a local tech who can do that, or maybe they have to contact the company. Well, here we're using systems that are all just kind of open source.
Right. And with the law enforcement or fire or ambulance, they also have the towers. And if their towers go down, then they don't have communications. And that's where ham radio comes in very much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got three different towers right now. Three or four, right?
Four
different towers. And that we have repeaters on. So, heck, if a couple went down, we'd still have some ways to communicate. And that's just our club.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember, there's a club in Independence.
Right. And there's a club in Nowata also, and Bartlesville.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
Parsons.
Same. Parsons, yeah. They're all over. So if ours are down, we can always go to theirs and use theirs and be able to still work with the law enforcement, with ambulance, with fire, to get all the emergency responders out if they needed it.
Yeah, and so that's a really good, you know, resource that, you know, we're available for. And I mean, heck, just to give you an idea, I've got about a 16-foot antenna at my place, and just it's mounted up about 16 feet or so. In the hole that I live in, I can hit Bartlesville, Parsons. So I mean, I can, even so I'm really low in elevation, I can hit some of those repeaters that are quite a ways away.
And we can always set up a system in a matter of just minutes with a dipole antenna that is just wire stretched to trees or poles or something. And it can be set up in just a matter of minutes, and we can have a repeater setting on that in just a matter of minutes.
That's right. So. That's right. Turning our attention here, you know, this is a great time of year for a lot of the hams doing radio sport, and we've got plenty of different contests coming up. One that is kind of a neat one, and some folks even just like to get on the air and listen to it, is Straight Key Night. And yeah. That's coming up. It's always on New Year's Eve. Is when it is, and people kind of dust off those old tube rigs and that sort of thing, and they get them on the air, which is a lot of fun. And so people, and they're encouraged to bust out their straight keys, the traditional Morse code keys.
Yes.
And while you know, Morse code is not a requirement anymore to get licensed, it is a really fun way. A lot of people are getting into it and learning Morse code and getting on the air that way, because it's a very friendly group of people and they enjoy, you know, that old school technology. And the fact that, heck, you can get a transmitter that's 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and put it on the air. Or the thing is that the current ones, the brand new ones, they still do Morse code. Mm-hmm. It's not like something that we've taken away from all the rigs. No, all these rigs still have the same capability to do Morse code. So that's another thing that, it's surprisingly, even in 2023, almost 2024, it's bringing people into the hobby.
Well, yeah, and Pittsburgh has a club that is dedicated to Morse code.
Oh, yeah. And even, I know, did you get to go to it or know anyone who went to the big Brutus activation
yes,
there?
Yes, I knew someone. I didn't get to go this year. But from what I understand, they're going to have one either in January or later this month. I'm not sure
which. We'll have to be checking out on that, because I know it was the four-state QRP group
yes.
that did that. And you're saying, what are you talking about? QRP is low power. So
yeah.
the four-state QRP group is actually, I think they're based in Missouri?
Well, it's combination between Pittsburgh and Joplin.
Okay.
And also, now they have a chapter of it in Branson.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. It's right here in our area, and they're actually a pretty active group, and what they do is they really, one of their claims to fame is they build a lot of kits.
Yes.
And they have these really cool kits that you can build, and they're actual radio transmitters that you can use on the ham bands. They have some radio receivers. They even have some kind of kits that are geared a little more towards kids, but they have some really creative people who build these kits, and they sell them, like, at cost. I mean, they can't be making any money on them.
They're not making money.
So they're really, but yeah, if you check out 4-State QRP group, they've got a great website, and they're always active in some of the events. So that's what they put on at Big Brutus, was one of their events.
Well, and also over at Branson in April, when the Titanic sunk, they go over there every April on the day it sunk and send out SOS signals from there.
Oh, that's great. Well, and another thing that I need to check the date on, but we have the anniversary coming up of the first voice broadcast.
Yes.
And that's because it was around Christmas time back, you know, in the, like, teens, early 20s sort of thing.
I think it was 1921.
I think, 21.
I think so.
Sure. Yeah, so that was only 6 years before KGGF began broadcasting, but we had the very first voice transmission, because believe it or not, and coming up, I know K-State is going to be putting on an event here next year for the anniversary of broadcasting on the K-State campus, but that back then, 100 years ago, it was Morse code. Believe it or not, they sent out Morse code messages to farmers.
Yes.
And farmers would sit there and copy down the weather via Morse code. And so, then this anniversary coming up here, which happened on the East Coast, and there is a guy who actually has a license from the FCC to operate on the original frequency and recreate that broadcast. And using, like, a period transmitter and everything, and they have a little singing, and then, like, the violin music they play to recreate that original broadcast.
I'll be darned.
So it's really cool, and so you can hear that all over the U.S. So
yeah, and people don't realize that a lot of movies, and especially a lot of the older movies, had ham radios in them.
Oh yeah,
Andy Hardy movies, they had ham radios in. Like three or four of them.
Even the background in Andy Griffith, they've got it, it's not even actually like police radios, it's like a ham radio that they've got sitting back there, which is kind of funny.
And that's the one with the gypsy, they use a shortwave radio for it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's some really great ones in there. We always, us, you know, radio nerds like to spot those radios that are in movies, like, oh, look at that.
And just then, like the movie Frequency.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at that radio, it's different than what it should be.
Oh, I know. There's always these little things that are wrong, but hey, we give them a pass sometimes. So, John, if people are interested in chatting more about the world of ham radio, maybe they're interested in getting their license, all that sort of thing, where can they find us at the meeting tomorrow?
They can find us at the 9th Street at the
Reawakening
Center. And we'll be there around 6:30, and then the meeting starts at 7, and then we're usually there after the meeting and talking and all, and they can come in and learn anything they want to learn. They can watch us. They can talk to us, anything they want to do.
Good deal. Well, we're looking forward to that. You can always come out. And if you're just interested in maybe getting into the hobby, we can tell you, you know, what does it take to get licensed? You can walk you through that. And we can even do the license, the testing when you're ready for that as well. So
yes,
it's going to be good. John, if they have any questions in the meantime,
they can call me at 620-515-0097 or text me. 24 hours a day.
That's right. He's our answering service there. So,
yep.
Good stuff. Well, John, appreciate you stopping on by, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I appreciate you all having me.
All right.
I'd also like to send out a happy birthday to my son who passed away, but yeah, today would have been his 41st birthday.
Wow.
Spencer Vest. So, but thank you for having me today.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you doing that, and yeah, something to be thinking of here today.
All right.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much. That is John Vest here at the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club, and we have more Open Line on the way.